Haunters. I'm your host, Ed Gannon, professional haunter. Something Wicked Productions, Wicked Amusements, and Haunt Dogs. And in this episode of Something Wicked, we'll talk about creating and using haunt models. They're more valuable than you know. In past segments, you've heard me talking about building a model of your haunted attraction with a blueprint. And those are incredibly helpful, and I encourage you to make those from every level, no matter whether you have a home haunt or a huge professional attraction. And I'll touch back on those in a few. But by no means are those the only haunt models you might want to look into. For example, this year's Transworld Haunt Show had me doing a seminar on building 4 haunt models, and you got to take them home with you. These were of haunt mechanisms, and using the model, it's easy to make a life-size version. All of the difficulties have been worked out in the model, and it's easy to see how everything works. You just need to scale it up.
Big.
The great thing is, you can make these as big or as small as you need them. Need a giant moving monster puppet like I used to do for Dark Hour down in Dallas? No problem. Need something a little smaller to pop out of a closet like my buddy Tim has at Fright Kingdom in Nashville, New Hampshire? No problem. The best thing about these is they are customized to your attraction. And if this is important to you, no one else will have the same one. So keep that in mind. Let's go over the types of models that we might want to utilize in haunting one at a time. Number one, of course, is a model of your actual attraction. Using a blueprint and taking measurements of your show space or house or whatever, and then adding in the elements of the haunt creates a visual overview of what you're actually dealing with for the season. Not to mention, it's a great way to keep track of scares, actors, all those things from season to season. My buddy John LaFlamboy of Hellsgate Haunted House near Chicago created his haunt model out of Legos, which is actually brilliant. And years later, still looks great, fun to build, and allows for quick updates and changes to the show. Eric Lother up at Haunted Overload in New Hampshire starts every giant structure he builds with a wooden frame model to see where each and every pole will be placed, some of which are over 20 feet tall. One thing I'll mention and always bring up when people ask me about creating maps, blueprints, or models of a building or attraction is be sure to get accurate measurements when creating your initial footprint. This means if your attraction is in a building, get all initial measurements accurate down to the inch. Be sure to include obstacles that are immovable, like center beams, air ducts, staircases, or any impediment which is not an open walking space. Include any obstruction that may be in the way of your show, walls, or elements. I usually work from one corner of the building or property and measure all distances, obstructions, etc. from there. That way, I have less chance of the blueprint or map folding in on its own measurements. Believe it or not, most structures are not square. Next, I input all those walls into a home CAD program, which you can get anywhere. I use these instead of SketchUp, for example, because it gives you measurements as you draw, it's easy, snaps the walls into 5-degree angles, and with a button, you can pull it up into a 3D version. Voila, haunt map. But you should use any program you feel most comfortable with. Most architectural models like this, you will see, are on a scale of 1/2 inch equals 1 foot. This means your 8-foot high walls will be 4 inches high on your model. This size makes it easy to put in working scares, secret doors, and figures as well. Then the fun part.
Hooray!
Start including decor, scares, where actors will be, and places for them to hide if necessary. This part can be as specific or as abstract as you like. If possible, I personally like to print out wall coverings and artistic elements on paper, then spray glue them onto the walls of the model so it's as accurate as possible. This eliminates miscommunication, especially if you're not the only one bringing this vision to life. A picture or a model speaks 1,000 words and avoids many disagreements. I covered how to make these architectural models in another segment, but if you have any questions, just send me an email. I'll be happy to help. The hidden value of an attraction model is for people who may not be able to see your vision without something to physically view, these can be invaluable. not only because you have a year-round representation of your attraction, but questions can be answered you may not expect. Security issues? Check. Design concerns? Check. Actor placements? Check. And sponsors can see exactly what you have to offer without leaving their office. Big check. A second type of model you might want to use is one of haunt mechanisms. These may include a mechanical scare, drop-down mechanism, a giant puppet rig, or a motorized element. Once you figure out how to make it work on the small scale, creating a larger version is so much easier. I designed a reverse Axworthy ghost mechanism that can hold 5 pounds instead of the 5 ounces the original type commonly holds. This effect could be huge, but the logistics have always been difficult. For those who may not know, this is a cable strung between 2 or more bicycle tire rims on supports and several mechanisms, one of which contains a motor that turns the wheel. This makes your ghost or whatever that hangs from the cable fly through the course you set up with the tire rims. The workings are all above the heads of guests and out of sight. The effect is a ghost which appears to float with no mode of locomotion that can move as slow or as fast as your motor. Very cool. Believe me, creating a model of these types of mechanisms ahead of time can save you days of work and mountains of frustration. I usually start off with some kind of model when designing a new mechanism. First, of course, I draw out the idea. This drawing may take on several versions while working out how to do it most effectively, sometimes many versions. Like many of you, I'm a visual person, so the stick drawing or rough architectural drawing is where I solve most of the problems that come with bringing something into the physical world from an idea. Even on paper, most of us can see, oh, this angle won't work here, or hey, I'm going to need some more support on this. But others are going to need to make something physical to see and figure those problems out. Once I have an idea I think will work, I'll do a wireframe rough concept model or popsicle stick device to see how it will operate. This is a great place to see, do I need to move a bolt for the pivot point closer or farther away? Is the motion arm too long or too short? I usually drill holes in the popsicle stick with a 1/16 inch drill bit and put thumbtacks through them for the bolts. This allows me to re-drill and move the angles easily to see where they will function the best. Once you have the motion you want in the model, you can usually also see what you will need to make it operate. Maybe a motor, or an air cylinder, or an actor with a crank or rope. The purpose of these models is to solve big problems of design and construction on a small scale. This allows a smaller budget and time savings during development. The second time you make something, it always goes faster and easier, right? Make that first attempt a model instead of the final product. You'll be glad you did. What's the hidden value of a mechanism model? The most obvious value is saving time and money. But perhaps the best benefit is being able to point to the model and saying, I want to make 5 of these mechanisms, and other people can see exactly how that's done and help make that happen. A third type of model may be a prop or costume. With broad strokes, draw your idea first. Even if you just use paper cutouts to see how things would look and move before you make an actual model, this can help you get your look down. How do you think paper dolls were invented in the first place? That's right, as a design tool. Let's say you wanted to create a new character with some custom props. For visualization's sake, let's say it's a huge ogre with a giant axe. He or she may have a belt with all kinds of tools and trophies on it, like the Predator, for example. Human skull, bottles of potions, sheathed knives, etc. You get the idea. Already, you can get a sense of what this character would look like. Taking an action figure and making the clothes, tools, belts, and giant axe can bring it into focus and solve some logistical problems before you even touch a piece of fabric or sheet of foam. You can, using clay for example, sculpt the mask, head, body to be exactly what you envisioned. How much you add in clay to the body costume is directly proportionate to the padding you will need to include in the final product. Does it need stilts? You can include that too. Making the axe is a similar process. Is it balanced? What understructure will it require so it doesn't fold over like a piece of cardboard? Does it need wood in there, metal? Is it too heavy to actually hold? Does the character have to hold it all the time, or can you create some kind of back harness that will allow the actor to have their hands free? These are all problems you may be able to work out ahead of time. This prevents you from having to rebuild your design several times or fix it because some elements just won't work in a real haunt situation. It also means it may take less time to create the physical costume since you've already made most of the building decisions. The hidden value of a prop costume model is not only is it easy to recreate, but seeing it finished also really gives you a feel for how the character may move, talk, or even what it might say. The time savings that translate from the action figure model to the full-size costume are substantial. Figuring out what materials you may use during this process will point you in the final direction of what you'll eventually use, like wood, metal, PVC, foam sheeting, plastic, metal pipe, or fabric. Deciding these now is well worth the effort. Things to remember with all these haunt models. Most people will not see what you see with any concept until you can show them a version of it. Models are a phenomenal way to do that. In one look, you can explain to others your concepts in three-dimensional space with scale, feasibility, functionality, with artwork and style. You can express to another person the feeling that your idea created in you, the one that inspired you to make it in the first place. I wrote this show near what I hope is the end of the first wave, as they call it, of this pandemic. I'm sure, like many of you, I'd be happy to only hear Corona when someone is asking if I'd like a beer. But while many of us are inside, models are an incredible way to keep working. Working on haunted attractions, costumes, props and mechanisms, electronics, all the things that can be very time consuming when putting our shows together. This can be an opportunity to do a lot of that work in miniature. So when we get the go ahead to actually go and get things done, all we have to do is follow the plan we've already worked out and build it. And models are very therapeutic. One other thing, these models are a great way to document what we have in our shows and how we grow or change them through the seasons, especially if you have a temporary show like most of us do. These can become keepsakes you will treasure as time goes on. I know I value the ones I have made and wish I created others way back when so I could see them now. A final word. While working in miniature brings along its own problems like glue, bending wire, using substitute materials, and handling small parts, and so on, it also saves tons of time and money that you would spend creating a full-size prototype. You're working out ideas, concepts, solving build problems, and bringing those models into focus. I like to call that last process dialing it in. After you know your ideas will work, it's the tweaking of details that makes the finished product look so polished. Anytime you bring something from your imagination into the physical world, that is a form of magic. Think about that. You're performing actual magic. You might as well be Harry Potter. How incredible is that? Well, look at the time. Okay, we'll wrap up this segment for now. In future episodes, we'll talk about more aspects of professional haunting, their methods, philosophies, how-tos, and so much more. But I see our moments here are up, so until the next time, be safe. This is Wick Ed Gannon, www.somethingwickedproductions.com, and you can always find me at edgwicked@aol.com since the 80s, saying, have a wicked day.
I'm going now. Heaven help you.
Please like and follow the podcast. Stalk us on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Links in the description. And help us by sharing Hauntcast with all your haunt and Halloween brethren. Until next time, stay scary.